ஓமானமிரங்கஞ்சனா சுவன்மீலித்தம் ஜேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீகுரவே நம. ஸ்ரீச்சைத்தியமனோபீஷ்டம் ஸ்தாபித்தம் ஜேன பூதலே ஸ்வயம் ரூப கதா மஹ்யம் ததாதி ஸ்வபதாந்திகம். வந்தேஹம் ஸ்ரீகுரோ ஸ்ரீயுத பதகமலம் ஸ்ரீகுரூன் வைஷ்ணவாம்ச ஸ்ரீரூபம் சாக்ரஜாதம் சஹகண ரகுநாதான்விதம் தம் சஜீவம் சாத்வைதம் சாவதூதம் பரிஜனா சகிதம் கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய தேவம் ஸ்ரீராதா கிருஷ்ண பாதான் சஹகண லலிதா ஸ்ரீ விசாகான்விதாம்ச்ச நமவோம் விஷ்ணு பாதாய கிருஷ்ண பிரஷ்டாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி வேதாந்த ஸ்வாமினிதி நாமினே நமஸ்தே சாரஸ்வதே தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணே நிர்விசேஷா சூன்யவாதி பாஷாத்ய தேச தாரிணே நமோ மகாவதன்யாய கிருஷ்ண பிரேம பிரதாயதே கிருஷ்ணாய கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய நாம்னே கௌரத்விஷே நம. ஹே கிருஷ்ண கருணா சிந்தோ தீனபந்தோ ஜகத்பதே கோபேஷ கோபிகா காந்த ராதா காந்த நமோஸ்துதே தப்த காஞ்சன கௌராங்கி ராதே விருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி ரிஷபானுசுதே தேவி பிரணமாமி ஹரி பிரியே வாஞ்சாகல்பதருப்யஸ்ச கிருபா சிந்துப்ய ஏவச பதிதானாம் பாவனேப்யோ வைஷ்ணவேப்யோ நமோ நமஹ. ஜய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர ஸ்ரீ வாசாதி கௌர பக்த விருந்த ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே 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 ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ய நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதீம் வ்யாசம் ததோ ஜயமுதீரயே நஷ்ட ப்ராயேஷ்வ பத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா பகவத்யுத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர் பவதி நைஷ்டிகி. கிருஷ்ணாய வாசுதேவாய தேவகி நந்தனாய ச நந்தகோபகுமாராய கோவிந்தாய நமோ நமஹ. சோ வெல்கம் ஆல் ஆஃப் யூ ஃபார் திஸ் கிருஷ்ண ரசாயனம் program on the topic of live joyfully in a renounced temperament. So I got this word renounced temperament from this chapter only, the third canto, first chapter, about Vidura. And you will learn a very great lesson today from Vidura. And by learning this lesson on living a life of renounced temperament, your life would become extremely joyful, even in the worst of the adversities. Even in the worst of adverse circumstances, you can live very joyfully. So that is the boon of studying this chapter. And I will directly go to the verse which we concluded last time. Somebody can tell me which was it? Was it 15th one? Yeah. It was a very important verse and purport. We will walk with Vidura as he goes on a pilgrimage, and we can experience with Vidura what all different experiences that he received during his spiritual journey, spiritual pilgrimage. But right now he has not yet left on a pilgrimage. Now he is actually still in the palace, very sharply rebuked by whom? Duryodhana. So Duryodhana spoke very bitter words, very painful words. That was the 15th verse. Let us recite the 15th verse. कयेनम अत्रोपजुहाव जिह्मम दास्या सुतम यद बलिनैव पुष्टः तस्मिन् प्रतीपः प्रकृत्य आस्ते तस्मिन् प्रतीपः परकृत्य आस्ते निर्वास्यतामाशु पुराच्छ्वसानः Somebody read the translation purport.
Who asked him to come here?
He's very politely asking, huh? Our friend. You know who said this? Duryodhana. Who asked him to come here? The son of a kept mistress. He is so crooked that he spies in the interest of the enemy against those on whose support he has grown up. Toss him out of the palace immediately and leave him only with his breath. Like that he said. Who said? Now we can read Prabhupada's purport now.
When getting married, the Kshatriya kings would take on several other youthful girls along with the married princess. These girl attendants of the king were known as dasis or attendant mistress. By intimate association with the king, the dasis would get sons. Such sons were called dasiputras. They had no claim to a royal position, but they would get maintenance and other facilities just like princes. Vidura was the son of such a dasi, and he was thus not counted among the Kshatriyas. King Dhritarashtra was very affectionate towards his younger dasi putra brother, Vidura, and Vidura was great friend and philosophical advisor to Dhritarashtra. Duryodhan knew very well that Vidura was a great soul and well-wisher, but unfortunately, he used strong words to hurt his innocent uncle. Duryodhan not only attacked Vidura's birth, but also called him infidel because he seemed to support the cause of Yudhishthir, whom Duryodhan considered his enemy. He desired that Vidura be immediately put out of the palace and deprived of all his possessions. If possible, he would have liked him
caned
until he was left with nothing but his breath.
He charged, he'd be left with nothing but breath, not even provident fund for having served in the palace for so long.
He charged that Vidura was a spy of Pandavas because he advised King Dhritarashtra in the favor. Such is the situation of palace life and the intricacies of diplomacy that even a faultless person like Vidura could be charged with something abominable and punished. Vidura was struck with wonder at such unexpected behavior from his nephew Duryodhan, and before anything actually happened, he decided to leave the place, leave the palace for good.
Yeah. You see, who is Vidura? Vidura is actually Yamaraj. Yamaraj actually makes so many living entities into pakoda. You know, putting them in oil, beating them, whipping them. He doesn't do it personally, but he gets it done through the other fellows. But you can imagine such a powerful, mighty Yamaraj personality whom all living entities fear. Right now, he is not in a position to punish Duryodhana, but he is in a position to hear Duryodhana and he has to leave the palace. So this makes it very clear because Krishna says, Balam Balavatam Chaham. He's saying, I am the strength of the strong, power of the powerful. So Krishna can make Yamaraj very powerful, or he can make Yamaraj become a Dasiputra and be insulted by somebody like Duryodhana and be driven out of the palace. So you can see that how the situations can change. So here is being insulted by Duryodhana so badly. Actually, how this all happened has a history. At one time, Dhritarashtra made an announcement after Akrura's very strong preaching to him that we should make Yudhishthir Maharaj the heir apparent, Rajkumar. And then eventually he will made the king. That was announced by Dhritarashtra in a small circle of 15-20 leaders, Kuru leaders. So as soon as that meeting was going on, immediately Shakuni, you know, took out some 4 or 5 people with him and went to another room for a little conference. So he took who all? He took Duryodhana, Dushasana, he took Karna and himself. And he went to another room and said, hey, what's happening? How is it Yudhishthira is declaring, Yudhishthira is declared as the next king. What are you doing, Duryodhana? What are you planning to do? Then Shakuni asked him, who are all in your support? Is Ashwatthama in your support? He said, definitely, he's my friend. What about Dronacharya? He's Ashwatthama's father. He's definitely in my support. What about Kripacharya? Kripacharya's sister, Kripi, is married to Dronacharya. So naturally, whatever Drona does, Kripa will follow, he said. And what about Bhishma Pitama? Bhishma is a neutral party. He will not take any side. What about Vidura? Oh, Vidura is one fellow I really don't know how to tackle. He's a tough nut. You know, he is too learned, very mature, and he can easily sense what we are doing. Any small diplomatic plan we make, even before we conclude, Vidura comes to know. And he conveys the matter to Pandavas. Then Shakuni said, so you have to do something to get him out of the scene. This is actually called politics. Then Duryodhana asked, what about Dhritarashtra? Shakuni said, that you don't have to worry because he's attached to you. That is enough. Because attachment makes a person weak. Metal attachment. So using the attachment, he can be defeated. So he told, you go and tell Dhritarashtra that if you are not made the king, you will consume poison and die. Like that Shakuni said. Of course, Duryodhana went and told his father, if you are going to make Yudhishthira the king, what will happen to all of us? We will become rejected, princes, and nobody will look at us. So because of this, there is no point living in the palace anymore. I will consume poison and die, he said. And Dhritarashtra got frightened. When Dhritarashtra told this to Vidura, my son says he will commit suicide for consuming poison. Vidura said, wonderful idea. He said, because if he on his own goes away, it's very good. I already told you to cast him away at the time of his birth to somebody else. Give him away. So, then Shakuni told, I have another idea. He called one poor Brahman. And he told the Brahman, hey Brahman, you have to speak lies. You should tell Dhritarashtra that he should destroy the Pandavas and make Duryodhana the next king. If you do that, I'll give you some gold coins. And that Brahman was actually not a real Brahman. He was just a Brahman by birth with no knowledge or no anything. He was just after money. So now Shakuni went to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra called Shakuni for advice. See, whom is he calling for advice, you can see. See, if you want good advice, whom should you go to? For example, imagine one of your friends is a smoker. You call him and ask him, is it a good idea for me to also learn smoking? He will tell you, definitely, I will teach you myself. Is it not true? You should ask somebody who knows the dangers of smoking, isn't it? Dhritarashtra called Shakuni for advice. And Shakuni said, wait a minute. He called that poor Brahman and said, now give him the advice. So the Brahman exactly told what Shakuni told him to tell. And then he went. And Shakuni said, see, a Brahman is telling you to destroy Pandava, so you should destroy. Like that, Shakuni did politics like this. And therefore, Duryodhana had it in his mind that as soon as an occasion arises, I will drive Vidura out of the palace. So my palace will be free from thorns. I can live peacefully. That was his political diplomacy. That's what is mentioned here. There was no reason for Vidura to be driven out except that he was having a soft heart for the Pandavas. So he was counted amongst the Pandavas by Duryodhana. You see? So therefore Duryodhana spoke such sharp words to Vidura. So let's go to text number 16. Swayam danurdvari nidhaya mayam Bratuh puro marmasu taadi topi Sayittamatyul banakarna banair Gatavyatoyat urumanayanaha translation?
Thus, being pierced by arrows through his ears and afflicted to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow on the door and quit his brother's palace. He was not sorry, for he considered the acts of external energy to be supreme.
Yeah. Keeping the bow on the door means, you know, giving up war. If somebody is keeping the bow leaning on the door, that means he is not going to fight the battle. Otherwise, you are supposed to carry the bow and arrow with you. Actually, Vidura is also a part of the Kuru race. He could have taken the bow and arrow with him. If he took the bow and arrow, that means he is going to continue fighting. Now he has given up the bow and arrow. That's one point mentioned here. Another important point mentioned here is, he quit his brother's palace immediately. He did not wait for a moment. Actually, Dhritarashtra was very close to him. He could have told Dhritarashtra, hey, look at your son, what he is speaking. And you are keeping mum due to your attachment to him. Put him behind the bars. Maybe Dhritarashtra would have done that also, because he was very close to Vidura. Vidura was his counselor and advisor. He could have put his son behind the bars. Not only that, Vidura actually must have had good amount of opulences of the palace. He must have been given wealth. They have a very palatial building to live, and nice sofas and tables and comfort and cushion and everything. He must have had all that. Who will want to give up the life in a palace and wander in the road like a vagabond? So he could have defended himself and stayed back. Correct, no? He could have done that, Vidura. But here it is mentioned here, he quit the brother's palace. Another more important thing is mentioned here. He was not sorry, for he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. He is saying, this is what actually makes Vidura a pure devotee. A pure devotee is never perturbed, even when he is put in an awkward position. You see, what is the meaning of an awkward position? When you have not done any mistake, but somebody insults you or blames you as if you have done the mistake. It's an awkward situation. So, just like sometimes you see in a movie, somebody is murdered and somebody else comes there and takes out the knife to save the person, and he becomes considered the murderer. Correct, no? It happens like that. It's awkward position for a person. One, he came to actually save the person, but he is called as the killer of the person. Just the opposite, isn't it? Similarly, Vidura actually is faultless, and he is actually filled with virtue. He is thoroughly a moralist and a devotee of the Lord. He actually should be worshipped. In fact, he was worshipped later on when he came back to the palace. Yudhishthira Maharaj and all Pandavas worshipped him when Vidura returned back. But here, instead of being worshipped, he is being driven out of the palace, and that too with very sharp words of insult. So, any of us may want to at least give clarification. How can insult be hurled upon somebody who doesn't deserve it? But he was not sorry, it is mentioned here. Because even when put in an awkward position, one should be able to take it. Like one time, Srila Prabhupada was approached by one hippie who wanted to meet him, but the devotees were not allowing him. But Prabhupada told them, hey, leave him, let him come to me. So he climbed up the stage and came up to Prabhupada, and then started yelling and shouting at Prabhupada. And then devotees understood that he has not come to ask questions. He is actually envious of Prabhupada. Prabhupada had to encounter some envious people also when preaching in the West. Like, you know, when he was doing Ratayatra, there were some Christians who were raising some banners where they were saying that these people are demons and, you know, they are Satan and so many things like that. They were opposing when Prabhupada was preaching in the West. Prabhupada was actually a daring preacher. So when this fellow came up and he was shouting and yelling, immediately devotees caught him by the hands and legs and lifted him up and took him down. Immediately. Later on, Prabhupada said, maybe I might have done something for him in a previous life, so he's so angry with me. Like the Prabhupada said. Actually, great devotees, they never take insult. Here you will see here that the word used here, third line, Saitam Ati Ulbana Karna Banair, it is said. Karna Banair means arrow, Karna means ears. Ati Ulbana means very severe. It was like a very sharp arrow piercing your chest. Lord Shiva tells Sati that, Sati, you should not go to your father's Daksha's Yajna. Why? Because he has not given us an invitation. And Sati tells Shiva that we are so close to my father that we don't deserve an invitation. Because, you know, generally, for example, imagine one sister is getting married. She is not going to, you know, you are not going to give a marriage invitation card for the sisters or the brothers, because they belong to the same family, no? Similarly, Sati said, we are so close to my father, why should you expect an invitation from him? We are a part of the family only. Then Shiva said, you see, your father has spoken very sharp words. Sharp words are more painful than the arrow that pierces our chest. They are even more painful. Because when arrow pierces, it is only a pain for the body. When there is a pain in the mind, it repeatedly attacks you again and again. The incident comes to your mind. Somebody spoke so sharply to me, insulting words. And again, it keeps coming in the mind. So therefore, Shiva refused to go and he did not want Sati also to go. Here also, the word Karna Baner is used, very sharp words. Marmasu Tadi Topi. See, the second line says, Marmas thought the innermost core of his heart was being afflicted by that. Now you may have a question, how do you say this? Vidura is a pure devotee, he should not feel any pain at all. You can't say that. Actually, this is the beauty of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Whenever it talks about pure devotees also, it also talks about their human side of their personality also. They are also humans like you and me. When they are spoken with sharp words, it's not that they won't feel insulted, but how they take it is what is, makes them different from others. So he was sharply, when we are sharply insulted, one of the first responses would be retaliation, or justification, or defense, or proving ourselves right. So you will see sometimes when somebody criticizes us, they are not totally wrong. How many of you found that when somebody criticizes, they are partially right? Correct, no? We have seen this, correct? But although they are partially right, our attention goes only to that which is not right. So, ideally speaking, a devotee should think, oh, he told what he told about me is partially right. So, whatever he is saying, I need to work on. Let me improve. Which is better, to prove or improve? Yeah, of course it's better. Only we should try to do it. But generally, what do? People try to prove only. So, do you think Vidura will have any difficulty in proving his importance in the palace? He could have easily proven. He could have told Dhritarashtra how important I am for you. I am giving you regular advice, what to do, what not to do. But he did not prove. He thought, let me improve my spiritual life. That's why it is said, he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. See, sometimes the external energy, which means Maya Shakti, acts very powerfully in this world. That a billionaire becomes a beggar sometimes. A very famous person may be thoroughly insulted sometimes. Sometimes a person who is hale and healthy may become very sickly. In this world, the external energy can be extremely powerful. So, here also he thought that, you know, suddenly I am facing an inevitability in my life. He immediately thought, what is the right action for me to do at this time? These are moments of crisis in our life when one should make the right decision and one should not spring into wrong action. So he thought deeply and in one moment he arrived at the decision. He thought, I will quit the palace and I will go on a spiritual pilgrimage to meet Lord Krishna in Dwaraka. And before meeting him, I have to cleanse my heart because I have lived in the palace, which is a political palace, diplomatic palace, filled with so much of dirty politics. So let me go on a pilgrimage, meet saintly people, get my heart cured. And with a very good sadbhavana, with a pure attitude, I will go to Dwaraka and meet Lord Krishna personally. He made up his mind like that. So you will find one interesting phenomenon in all the scriptures. Great personalities, when they are encountered with some great challenge in life, number one, they never blame the people who created the situation. Number two, they look ahead on whatever situation I am going to be put now, how can I utilize that situation better? That's what they think. For example, Lord Rama was cursed to, go to forest for 14 years by Kaikeyi and subsequently Dasharatha. So do you think any time in Ramayana, Lord Rama is unhappy with Kaikeyi? Do you see that? She is the person who wanted that boon, right? But he never talks ill of Kaikeyi. Other people are talking ill of her. Bharata is talking, Lakshman is talking, but not Lord Ram. You will never hear that. Not only that, as soon as he got the curse, you will see Lord Ram, when he was told a couple of days before that he is going to be the next king, whatever emotion he had, and now he is told to go to the forest, whatever emotion he has right now, there was no change. So this is another highness or greatness of great souls. There is a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Sukha Dukke Same Kritva Labha Labhau Jaya Jayau Tasmat Yuddaya Yujyasva is saying, Sukha Dukke Same Kritva is saying, Sukha Dukkha Labha Alab Jai Parajai. In all the situations, we should cultivate equanimity, is telling. We have to cultivate that. It won't come automatically. We have to cultivate that. Why? In this world, everything comes to pass. Sometimes you are victorious, sometimes you are a failure. Sometimes you get happiness, sometimes you get distress. One day prasadam is extraordinary, other day it's ordinary. Isn't it? Just take it as a passing phase in life and go on with life. One day you are sick, another day you are healthy. So he says, Samaya Kritva Labha. Actually, if you learn the art of being having equanimity, you will always be cheerful in life. Like when the summer is hot, a woman should be cheerful to cook food for her family members. If it is sweating in summer, the whole clothes get very wet. A woman gets very irritated. After cooking the food, she comes out of the kitchen and while serving the family members, and all are asking, what happened to you now? It is so hot inside. Then that way she makes them also very sad. Is it not true? They say that, if it is so troublesome for you, come, let us go out and eat in a hotel. They will say, correct, no? So she has to tolerate that. Similarly, a brahmachari is supposed to control senses and rise early in the morning, even on a winter day. Even when it is chill cold in the winter. So there was an article in Back to Godhead magazine. And the article said, a warm bed is a cold grave. Why it's a cold grave? Because if you don't want to come out of the blanket, your morning program is finished. Isn't it? So they have to rise early in the morning. If somebody is waking up a brahmachari up, if the alarm clock is waking, turn around, like that, it puts off. After 5 minutes, turn around, again. So one may consider the alarm clock and disturbance are an enemy. But actually it is your friend. It is waking up to remind you have 16 rounds waiting for you. Chanting. Or if another devotee comes and says, Prabhu, I heard several times alarm, you are not getting up. I have come to wake you up. Then you may think another enemy has come now. Isn't it? You may think like that. Okay, since you have woken me up, what to do? You have found out that I am sleeping. Okay, I'll get up now. I'll go and take a quick bath, crow bath. Crow bath means it is not bath at all, very little only. Just put one mug and come running. So, in winter season, people may not like to rise in the morning, but one has to do it. Therefore, it is said, happiness, distress, victory, failure, all these things should be taken equally. So, Lord Ram did not show any remorse or any sign of lamentation, nor did he challenge the father, Papa, what happened to you? Who made you change your mind? Tell me, who is that fellow? He didn't ask that. Not only that, he was thinking next 14 years, how I can spend my time in the forest constructively. Same thing with Yudhishthira Maharaj. When the Pandavas were asked to go to forest, he immediately made a plan. While in the forest, I'll meet the Brahmanas and they will perform yajna. I will also perform certain yajnas. And my brothers can learn more, get more weapons, different weapons, and also learn different words of good wisdom from the Brahmanas. They actually utilized the time very well, Pandavas in the forest. In fact, Yudhishthira Maharaj never cursed Duryodhana at all. Never criticized Duryodhana. Same with Arjuna. Arjuna was cursed to become a Napumsak, as we say, a eunuch, by Urvashi. in the heaven. But Arjuna never became angry with Urvashi, nor did he curse her. He utilized that 1 year period as an incognito period in Virat Desh, becoming a dancing teacher of Uttara. It became a blessing in disguise for him. Blessing in disguise means it is apparently a punishment, but it's a blessing. Like one devotee got a terrible accident and was admitted in the hospital. Then he had gone for Sankirtan bus party during the marathon time. One full month he distributed thousands of books. But then the last week of marathon, there was a terrible car accident. The car toppled and fell in a valley. And he got terrible breakage, damage of many bones. And he was full of bandages. When he was admitted in the hospital, the president went to meet him. So the devotee told the president, he was in big smile. The devotee had a big smile on the face. Except the face which was smiling, all over the body there was bandage. Isn't it? So president was surprised how this devotee is smiling. The devotee said, Prabhuji, last 6 months, I never touched Prabhupada books. He said, no, it's not that I didn't touch. I touched it only for selling, not for reading. But now that Krishna has given me this punishment, next 6 months I am going to be bedridden. Now, whatever I haven't read, with compound interest, I will read now. So you can see that how this devotee took it in a very positive spirit. Whatever he hadn't read, now he got to read every day 10 hours. 8 hours, 10 hours, he was reading Prabhupada books. And the devotee told, because I have not been reading and I am distributing books, Krishna wanted to create special time for me to read. And that way he gave me a punishment. Because if I tell in the temple that I want time to read, they will engage you in so many services. Now that I am bedridden, the only service is to read now, he said. So, every one of us sitting here, we all have this opportunity in our life that we can convert a misfortune into a good fortune. It is in our hands only. What you want, how you want to make it. Vidura also made this terrible situation into a welcomeable situation. So, the purport, please read the purport.
A pure devotee of Lord is never perturbed by an awkward position created by external energy of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 3.27, it is stated.
See, created by the external energy of the Lord. Once His Grace Anuttam Prabhu came to Pune, he was telling, somebody was calling him outside his house. So he went running to the door. And the door had, a small CD, step kind of thing. So his leg hit that door and then right thumb nail came out. Portion of the nail got cut and came out, started bleeding. He shouted and then he sat and they put a bandage after that. So he was telling, as soon as he got hit, the first realization that dawned in his head was, material world is dukkhalayam, ashashvatam. He said, I instantly realized it. How this material world is such a painful place. And then he said to himself, my dear Lord, I don't want this material body anymore. Let me not take one more material birth. Let my next body be spiritual body forever. And he said, I got that one instant to pain. Similarly, he said, every one of you may be incurring pain at different times. But as soon as you incur pain, you should connect it to Krishna immediately. Connect it to Bhagavad Gita or Krishna. That is the way we can see the Lord's hand in all situations. Yeah, go ahead.
Prakrite kriyamanani gune karmani sarvasa ahankara vimud atma karta ham iti manyate.
Yeah, this verse is quoting. Why? Because you want to say about Duryodhana. Duryodhana was controlled by Maya Shakti. If you go below, 3-4 lines below, I have 6 lines below. He says, Duryodhana was acting under such influence of the Maya Shakti, external nature, by which he would be vanquished at the ultimate end. He could not accept the sound advice of Vidura. But on the contrary, he insulted that great soul who was the well-wisher of his whole family. Vidura could understand this because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. In spite of being very strongly insulted by Duryodhana's words, Vidura could see that Duryodhana was under influence of Maya, the external energy. So these two words we should know, external energy, internal energy. Internal. See, in the Bhagavad Gita, there are two shlokas you will see. I'm going to show you just now. So See this verse. See this verse here. Let's repeat. Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameviye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. See the first line, you see. Devi, Gunamayi Devi. This Devi is the source of all the three gunas. She actually, through the three gunas, she binds all the living beings in this world. Who is this Devi? External energy. This is Durga Devi. But then Krishna says, Mama Maya, she is my energy. Duratyaya, she is very difficult to overcome, Krishna says. So I was reading in the Elevation to Krishna Consciousness, Prabhupada's small book. Prabhupada says that this Durga Devi is an expansion of Subhadra Devi. You know? Subhadra, who sits between Balaram and Krishna, Jagannath and Baladev. Huh? So she's a sister in the spiritual world in Dwaraka. But the same Subhadra expands as Durga Mata in this world. Huh? And she is actually called as material Devi, huh? Because she is Gunamayi Devi. There is another verse where he says, Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritah vajantyananyamanaso jnatva bhutadim avyayam. Krishna is telling Mahatma means one who is a broad-minded soul. See, narrow-minded soul means they think me and my family. Little broad-minded means me and my colony people. Little more broad-minded means me and all my caste people. And if you are more broad-minded, me and my state people. Then me and my country people. Like that, you gradually become broad-minded. Like in NITs and IITs, they have these clubs. They have Malayalam club, Tamil club, Karnataka club, Maharashtrian club. Like that, they have clubs. There, boys who all belong to one language, only they come together. So it's a narrow-minded club, correct, no? Because the club can only include, unless you speak their language, they won't let you come in as a part of that team, isn't it? Then from Jai Maharashtra or Jai Tamil Nadu, you go to which stage? You go to Mera Bharat Mahan. Huh? Then you go, you're a little more, you become more broad-minded, isn't it? Then you become even more broad-minded. You understand that all human beings are good, because nowadays people are traveling all across the globe. You meet people from America, you know, Europe, everywhere. Then you become open-minded to deal with all humans. You are more broad. But then there are people who deal with people in a humanitarian way, but they kill animals. So therefore, when you become a devotee of the Lord, you become the broader, most broad-hearted. Therefore, Mahatma, one is called. Otherwise, Sankuchitatma. Is Mahatma. Mahatmanastu mam partha. My dear Partha, when one becomes my devotee, he takes whose shelter? Daivim prakriti mashritaha. See here, the second line he says Daivim. Who is this Devi? This is Radharani. Same word is used. There also Devi, here also Devi. But he takes shelter of internal potency. It's called Antaranga Shakti. And what is the proof that one is taking shelter of Radharani? What he will do? Bhajanti ananya manaso. Anya means other things. Ananya means what? People are doing, Prabhupada says in one lecture, people are doing community seva, people are doing desh seva. They are doing different you know, clubs they are starting. But this person does service to the Supreme Lord, the greatest personality. Bhajanti ananya manaso. Like that he says. So these two verses clearly indicate two devis, spiritual devi, material devi. Material Devi is holding a trident. Spiritual Devi is holding a flower. Correct, no? See, Radharani has one garland to put for Krishna. And in the left hand, she has a bouquet to welcome you to spiritual world. She's telling, come on, welcome. And she's putting a garland to Krishna and offering us to Krishna. That is spiritual Devi. And material Devi is showing a trishul. Get out of this material world. This is no good place for you. Dukalayam, Ashashvatam. So, in this way, Vidura was inspired by spiritual Devi. And Duryodhana was inspired by material Devi, material energy. So now how do you know who is acting according to material energy or spiritual energy? From the behavior you can make out. Like for example, somebody may come to Krishna only for material motivations. Correct, no? Mundane motivations. Like you know the thief who came to the Bhagavatam class, Daku Bhagat, he was sitting behind. So he was actually conducted generally by material energy. But he became influenced by spiritual potency later. He became a devotee of the Lord subsequently. So in this particular pastime, Duryodhana was conducted by material energy. He only considered one thing. Vidura is my enemy and I have to eliminate him from the scene. He didn't see him as a devotee of the Lord. He didn't see him as an uncle. He didn't remember all the favors he received from him. Completely forgot. He acted by external energy. Ashwatthama acted by external potency, killing the 5 Pandava children. Duryodhana acted by material potency by waging a foolish war against the Pandavas. So these are all conducted by external potency. Anybody who is acting by 3 gunas, they are acting by material potency. Anybody who is conducted by the 3 spiritual modes, what are the 3 spiritual modes? Samvit, Sandini, Haladini. That is 3 spiritual modes. See, Samvit means knowledge of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Vedic literature, all the knowledge, Samvit. Sandini means spiritual world with all its details. And Haladini means spiritual bliss. And in material world, opposite, the Samvit potency comes as Jadavidya in the colleges and schools what they teach. That is the material counterpart. And Sandini comes as 14 planetary systems, which is external energy. And Haladini comes as sense gratification in the material world. So this is material counterpart. So we have the choice either to be conducted by 3 gunas or conducted by 3 spiritual modes. So how do we know Vidura was conducted by Antaranga Shakti? Because, you know, Vidura's activities are in line with Krishna. You will see that. See, that's coming in the next paragraph further. Vidura could see that Duryodhana, under the influence of Maya, external energy, was making progress on the path towards his own ruination. He therefore considered the acts of external energy to be supreme. He also saw how the internal energy of the Lord helped him in that particular situation. A devotee is always in a renounced temperament. Like Indra and Prithu episode, who acted based on external energy? Indra. And Prithu acted on? You are clear about this? In Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu acted on external energy. And Prahlada acted on internal potency. So it's very clear. When you see the different situations. Kauravas and Pandavas. Kauravas were conducted by, what was their hetu, goal? To get the kingdom of the whole world. And drive the Pandavas to forest. And Pandavas were conducted by Krishna and his guidance. So they were conducted by internal potency. So in our life also, if another devotee conducted by external potency, say, driven by 3 gunas, becomes angry on us. And is chastising us, driven by passion, due to some misunderstanding. How can we act based on internal potency? How can we act? Okay, he's saying tolerate it. Yeah. So actually, when you look at such a devotee, you can think, he's such a wonderful devotee. The devotee has so many qualities. He has done so much for Prabhupada. Maybe let me check whether is there any element of truth in what this person says. The way I acted, maybe he will tell me some more detail which will help me to know why he is so angry on me. Devotees are always thoughtful and contemplative when they are faced with such inevitabilities. Like Lord Vishnu got a kick from Bhrigu on his chest. How did he respond? Because Vishnu is our boss, so we also have to act in line with his behavior, isn't it? So Ambarish Maharaj is a perfect follower of Lord Vishnu. So, when Durvasamani created a big demon to kill him, how did Ambarish act? So, Ambarish acted by internal potency. And Durvasa acted based on external potency. Because his anger was baseless, meaningless actually. Driven by Rajoguna. So, in this material world, gunas are very powerful. Rajoguna, Tamoguna, Sattoguna. Even though we are devotees, we are not yet become pure devotees. So sometimes we are conducted by Antaranga Shakti, sometimes by Bahiranga Shakti. When Dhruva Maharaj you know, became angry, insulted by his mother Suruchi. He was driven by which guna, which mode? Mode of passion, external potency. But after he followed his mother and went to forest and heard Narada Muni and then worshipped and got darshan of Vishnu, and then Vishnu touched him with a shank, his whole body became electrified, spiritualized. So that time the Hladini potency of Radharani permeated his body and spiritualized and made his body become blissful, like iron rod put in fire, becomes fiery. Like that he became spiritualized. And that spiritualization is such a powerful process that he lost his envy also in that. Envy for the stepmother. One loses all bad qualities. This is another proof. If we are conducted by internal potency, we will get all good qualities. All bad qualities will be driven out. Please repeat this beautiful verse. Na krodo, na tamatsaryo, na lobho, na shubha matihi, bhavanti krita punyanam, bhaktanam purushottame. So this was is a part of Vishnu Sahasranama. It says that, you know, a devotee unnecessarily doesn't become angry like Durvasa. And he doesn't develop matsarata or envy like Duryodhana. And he doesn't become greedy. And he also says that na ashubhamati, one does not harbor any malice towards any creature. On the contrary, a person, in case he is put in a difficult situation, he rushes to Lord's lotus feet. Bhavanti krita punyanam. He engages in devotional service to Lord more intensely. His bhakti becomes accelerated when he is put in troublesome situation. Just like if a child is suddenly seeing a big bumblebee coming, zzz, immediately the child will run to the mother or father. Like that, when a devotee finds some challenging situation or a difficult situation, devotee runs to Lord's lotus feet. Like that. Bhavanti krita punyanam. Bhaktanam purushottame. Purushottama bhakta means whenever we are put in difficult situation, we should intensify our bhakti. Accelerate our bhakti. She rushed to Lord's lotus feet. Therefore, you find that Vidura went to Lord's lotus feet. So he is conducted by Antaranga Shakti. And Duryodhana is insulting such a exalted personality like Vidura. So he is conducted by external potency. Yeah. So he says, a devotee is always in a renounced temperament because the worldly attractions can never satisfy him. Vidura was never attracted by the royal palace of his brother. He was always ready to leave the place and devote himself completely to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Here comes a very important lesson for us. Now he got the opportunity by the grace of Duryodhana. And instead of being sorry at the strong words of insult, he thanked him from within, because it gave him the chance to live alone in a holy place and fully engage in devotional service of the Lord. Gata vyataha means without being sorry. Vidura was relieved from the tribulations which trouble every man entangled in mental activities. He therefore thought that there was no need to defend his brother with the bow, with his bow, because his brother was meant for ruination. Thus he left the palace. See, what is the meaning of living in a renounced temperament? In our life also, all of us, we should always think, I am custodian of this property. I am not proprietor of this property. That is called renounced temperament. Like you have a house, you should not think, this house has a paper in my name. So it is whose house? My house. My children. My wife. My land. My job. My bank balance. This my, this creates a lot of tension for us. One should think that this house is given to me by Krishna and put in my custody. For example, it's a difference between living in a rented house and living in a own house. How many of you say you can clearly feel difference? Correct, no? In a own house, you have mamata. My house. You feel like that. Like Prabhupada says, Brahmaji says, my Brahmanda. Brahma says. And a rat brings all his friends and says, this is my hole. In this hole I live. This is my house. Actually, rat lives in somebody else's house. I'm making hole. And it brings other rats and shows, this is our house. This is the place we live. Similarly, we live in Krishna's property and think this is my house, isn't it? So, but if your Prabhupada was once sitting on a loft, you know, in America, And then they were paying a rent. Prabhupada said, you see, if you don't pay rent for this place, the next day we will be chucked out. Because this place doesn't belong to us. It belongs to someone else. We are renting this property. So we are not proprietor, we are custodian of this place. See, custodian means what? You are allowed to use it, but you don't own it. That's the meaning of custodian. Proprietor means you own it. So Krishna has clearly said in Gita, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is a proprietor. So we are secondary proprietors, or we can say we are custodians. So the meaning of renounced temperament means, if I am given some post, I should know that this post is given to me for serving the people. Like I am president of the temple. Why I am given the president's post? I am supposed to preside the activities of the temple in such a way that Krishna's cause will be fulfilled. So Krishna's desire is what? All the living entities should follow Brahminical culture and then get purified and go back to Godhead. So I should promote that cause through this temple. So I am president. Similarly, if a wife is given to a man and children are given, so they are all put in your custody. You are a custodian of those family members. But they all belong to whom? They belong to Krishna. So one should know that eventually time will separate all of us. And at the time you will be able to withstand it. You will not break down, provided you know that we don't own anybody in this world. We don't own anything. We don't own anybody. We don't own any bank balance. Everything will be taken away. So living in a renounced temperament was practiced by many, many people. You will see that Janaka Maharaj, we will recite that shloka from Gita, very important verse.
Karmanaiva hi samsiddhim astitha janakadayah loka sangraham evapi sampashyan kartum arhasi.
Kings such as Janaka attained perfection. How? Solely by performance of prescribed duties. Just for the sake of educating people in general, you should perform your work. Which means Janaka Maharaj was a very detached king. See, Janaka's kingdom, Mithilapuri, it's called Videha also. One name of Sita is Vaidehi. You heard it? Vaidehi. But there is another meaning for Videha. Videha means he was living in the Mithilapuri, Videha Desh. He was also like without material body, Videha. He was living as if he was living in a spiritual body. That means we should live in our home or in a temple, wherever we are putting, as if we are living in the spiritual world. In spiritual world, everybody knows everything is owned by Krishna only. But in material world, living beings think everything belongs to me. Not only that, people encroach on others' property also. They want to possess more and more in the material world. So Prabhupada was giving this example in NOI. Prabhupada gives this. If you put a sack of rice, a sparrow will come, eat little bit and go away. A dog will come, eat little and go away. But if a man comes, what he will do? He will want to possess it. Carry the whole sack away. So actually when we get a desire to possess, therefore many times people think, I will buy this, I will buy that. It will be better to have our own thing instead of borrowing from somebody. This is how we increase our possessions and increase our maintenance time and no time for Krishna. And also this possession in our mind creates too much of tension also, because it is my thing. So renounced temperament means one should be ready to move on to another situation if your fate brings some new situation for you. One should be ready to move on, leave one situation and go to the next without becoming attached to the previous situation. And it can happen. For example, you lived with somebody and now that person is not there anymore. You have to live without them. So that requires tremendous detachment. So that detachment comes by living in a renounced temperament. Now he was living in the palace. Was he attached to the palace? Vidura? If he was attached, he would have cried loudly. Hey, Dhritarashtra, brother, just see, he is telling me that I should be thrown out. Do you think, is it justice? Don't you know what all services I have been rendering in this palace? I did this, I did that. Please kindly speak out. Why are you keeping mum like a dumb man? You would have asked Dhritarashtra. if he was attached. He had no attachment. He was ready to quit the scene immediately. On the other hand, think about Indra, who became a pig in the ditch. You know, he was having pig wife and pig children. When Brahma came to take him back to Indra's post, was he ready to leave? Why he wasn't ready to leave? Was he living in a renounced temperament in that gutter? No. He was living in a what temperament? Attached temperament. So if we are attached, then it will be very painful for us when we are removed from that situation. So Vidura was not attached. He was living in a very renounced temperament. And we should know, things will not be the same. And Pandavas actually underwent this in a very terrible way. Like, first of all, they were in the forest. Suddenly their father was removed. Because the father, Pandu, passed away. They became fatherless children. Then they came to the palace. Were they able to live peacefully in the palace? Bhima was poisoned. They were sent to Varanavat, and there was an assassination attempt made on them. They were practically vagabonds. Then they were given a kingdom, Kandavaprastha, which was made into Indraprastha. So now that they got a very good palace, now we have Indraprastha, very nice palace made by Mayadana. Were they able to live peacefully? There, eventually you will see gambling match. They were driven to forest again. So you will see Pandava situation is ever-changing situations. Actually, if we get into such situation, we will get tremendous stress. We can't take it. Because we all like to have one situation where we can peacefully live. Everybody says, no, peaceful, peaceful. Everybody wants peaceful. Changing situation, nobody wants. But the Pandavas were put in multiple changing situations. What kept them quiet or what kept them peaceful was their Krishna's association. Just like, imagine you have, sometimes you put this bandage, you know, sometimes in the knee you put, when next day when you have to remove the bandage to check whether the wound is cured or not, or you have to put one more bandage, when you remove, the hair also comes out, you see. It comes like that. Oh, it's very painful it is, isn't it? But you put some water, smoothly it comes out, isn't it? Similarly, we need Krishna juice to smoothly detach ourselves. So when you have Krishna juice, then in our heart, then detachment comes very easy. Otherwise, it's very painful for us. So Krishna conscious bliss Pandavas had. So they never bothered about changing situation. And it can happen to any of us in any situation. Like, you know, of course the companies may create it for you by transferring you from one place to another. That's one possibility. You know, you may move from one place to another. Every time you may not have the same situation as per your expectation. Correct, no? So, similarly, you know, sometimes we are living in great riches. So you are living a very lavish life. Imagine suddenly by stroke of destiny you became poor. Then we should learn to live even in poverty. Pandavas were having, you know, Indraprastha palace. They were living very opulently. But then now they were driven to forest. They had to live in the jungle. A very poor life. Again, they became kings of the whole world. So, are we ready to face difficult situations? For that, we have to live in a renounced temperament. And what is renounced temperament? I will show you one verse from Bhagavatam that also represents renounced temperament. This verse is about Ambarish Maharaj. Very, very beautiful verse it is. Please repeat after me. Griheshu dareshu suteshu bandhushu dipottamasyandana vaji vastushu akshayaratnabaranambaradishu ananta kosheshvakarot asantmatim. See, Griheshu means he considered his home, Dareshu, wife, Suteshu, children, Bandushu, relatives and friends, and Dipottama means the big elephants on which the king used to sit, Sandana means the chariots, and Sandana, Vyadi, Vaji, Vastushu, and first class horses, Vaji's horses. In such things, an akshaya ratna abharana ambaradishu. Ambara means the dress, the royal dress of the king, and inexhaustible treasury. Akshaya ratna, akshaya means akshaya, indestructible treasury he had. All ornaments he had, you know, necklaces and jewelry and everything he had. Ananta kosheshu akarod asat matim. He understood all these things to be asat, he's saying. Read the translation.
Maharaj Ambarish gave up all attachment to household affairs, wives, children, friends and relatives, to the best of powerful elephants, to beautiful chariots, carts, horses and inexhaustible jewels, and to ornaments, garments and an inexhaustible treasury. He gave up attachment to all of them, regarding them as temporary and material.
Yeah. See, now, hearing this, some Matajis may become afraid. If a husband gives up attachment to wife, children and home, then what will happen to the home? So therefore, I have to show you one another purport of Prabhupada to pacify you. So I will show you. So after seeing that, you will become peaceful quickly. I'll show you. See, it's very, very powerful purport. This I have taken from another place. See, giving a family attachment, Prabhupada explains very beautifully here. He says here, see, to become liberated means to become free from Dehatma Buddhi, the illusory attachment for personal bodily coverings. That means personal bodily coverings and everything connected to the body. Like wife, children, and other entanglements. First of all, when a man selects a wife for bodily comfort, then the result is children. And then for the wife and children, then you need a dwelling place. Then other things like, you know, horses, elephants, cows, dogs come. Dog is there for protecting the house. Cows are there to give you milk. Horses for going from one place to another. Nowadays, horses are replaced by horsepower, you know, with cars and bikes and everything. And to maintain all, and dog is for protecting the house. So with all this paraphernalia, to maintain a house, one needs money. Then one has to earn money. And you need more money. If a married man has to impress the people in the world, relatives and friends, one requires more money, purposes. One requires more money. All that he goes on developing. Then the pure devotee gives up all connections with material attachment. Prabhupada explains here, devotion for Krishna, Lord Krishna means negation of all material attachments as detailed above. That means one has to give up attachment to all these things. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Maharaj Parikshit was awarded all material amenities and an undisputed kingdom to enjoy an undisturbed position of king by grace of Lord and all that. But he was able to give up all connections. And then he's saying, here, I have given in bold letters, Maharaj Parikshit, due to his natural affection for Lord Krishna as a devotee of the Lord, he was always executing his royal duties he was doing on behalf of the Lord. And he was a responsible king, you know, to always see that influence of Kali cannot enter his kingdom. He never thought of household paraphernalia as his own. He was living in which temperament? Renounced temperament. But he surrendered everything for the service of the Lord. And how he did that, Prabhupada explains here below. See, attachment for household paraphernalia is darkness. And attachment for Lord Krishna is like light, he says. I read this one.
Attachment for household paraphernalia and for Lord Krishna go poorly together. One attachment is the path of darkness and the other attachment is the path of light. Where there is light, there is no darkness. And where there is darkness, there is no light. But an expert devotee can turn everything to the path of light by an attitude of service to the Lord. And the best example...
That means if you go towards Krishna, it is light. If you go towards the wife, children, car, bungalow, home and metal things, one is attached to these things. See, having them is not a problem. What is problem? Attachment to them is a problem. If one is attached to these things and becomes bogged up by these things and not doing devotion service, he is going towards darkness. Or if one is able to go towards Krishna, it's going towards light, he says. And then he is saying, read further.
And the best example here is the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhishthir and householders like him can turn everything to light by dowtailing so-called material assets in the service of the Lord.
Why, Prabhupada, is the word so-called? One's wife, children and home and paraphernalia are considered material generally. But if you engage them in Krishna's service, they become spiritualized. Then they are called so-called material. They are no more material, he says. Yeah.
But one who is not trained or is unable to turn everything to the service of the Lord, Nirbande Krishna Sambande, must give up all the material connections before he can be fit to hear and chant the glories of the Lord.
Yeah, just like, you know, if you go to a discotheque center, you know, they are using cement and reinforced bars, grinding mortar, everything to build erect a building, which is called as a ballroom dance hall. And everybody comes to ballroom dance, and that dancing hall takes people to hell. And Prabhupada says, we use the same materials and build a Krishna's temple where people come and dance, and this dancing takes people from Bhuloka to Goloka. Correct? In both the places, the dancing activity is the same. One is done for Krishna's pleasure, one is done for sense gratification. Same way Prabhupada says, people are going around working hard in the world and collecting money. We are also going out and collecting money. But we are collecting money and printing spiritual literature and distributing. And we are getting liberated from this world. And they are collecting money to gratify their senses. Like Prabhupada says, beg, borrow or steal. People do that. Sometimes for enjoying, people beg money from others also. Sometimes they borrow money and they don't give back also. To cheat people. Prabhupada is talking about this Bill Clinton in those days. You know, although he was the president of the whole country, still he was stealing money. Prabhupada said he was not a poor man. The president of a country means he's a rich man. But people, they can degrade with money or we can elevate with money. So here also he says the same thing, that Parikshit Maharaj, you know, seriously had Bhagavatam. Okay, before that, the Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. One can see this point is most important, what we read just now in this whole paragraph. One is light, path of darkness. If you are materially attached, we are going towards path of darkness. But if you can take all material objects and spiritualize them, which means a man has to carry his wife and children and family and paraphernalia, everything towards Krishna. Then a person is making Krishna conscious progress. That means such a householder like Ambarish Maharaj can live in a renounced temperament. See, why am I dwelling on this so much? You know, we may study Bhagavatam. It's not a question of completing the number of verses. If we don't understand the goal of studying Bhagavatam, then the purpose wouldn't be served. So here you find Ambarish Maharaj was a king with best of facilities. Like I will tell you about Ambarish Prabhu, who is currently on the planet. His Grace Ekalavya Prabhu told me, once he went to Ambarish Prabhu's home. Ambarish Prabhu was wearing a dhoti and kurta. And he brought a big plate of dry fruits. Ekalavya Prabhu said, Prabhuji, I am only one brahmachari who has come. I can take a palm full. You are giving me such a huge plate. And when they sat, Ambarish Prabhu also sat. Ekalavya Prabhu asked him a question. Prabhu, you are son of Mr. Ford, Henry Ford. You are coming in the Henry Ford's family. How is it that you are wearing a simple dhoti kurta and having a beautiful altar in your home and living like any of us? You're living such a simple life. And how are you able to give up the aham bhav, the pride of being a billionaire? There was an article in newspaper called Billionaire Bhakt. It was about Ambarish Prabhu. So how are you able to give up that mentality of being a billionaire in your head, from your head? He was telling, if you are even lakhpati, we become very proud. If somebody is karodpati, he becomes even more proud. And you are a multi-billionaire. So what he told was, see, in this lifetime, Krishna has connected me to a rich family. And he said, and by Prabhupada's mercy, I got initiated. Now I became a Krishna devotee now. So when I leave this family and go, this wealth will remain. And I will be born in another family. So temporarily, I have become connected with this wealth. Only for this lifetime. I am actually a custodian of this wealth, but I'll be leaving behind this wealth and going away. This is my consciousness, he told them. Now Ekalavya Prabhu understood how he is able to be so humble. He never thought he is proprietor of the wealth. He thought himself to be custodian of the wealth. And then he also told, Therefore, before I leave my body, I want to use maximum wealth of mine in Krishna's service. Because right now, the wealth is with me. Once I die, after that, what will happen? Like you see, one man in Pune had 10 houses in Pune. Huh? 10 big bungalows with garden and everything, compound and everything. So one devotee went to give Janmashtami invitation. And they said, you have 10 bungalows in Pune. Can you give one to Krishna? So that fellow said, Pooch kar, soch kar batayenge, he said. I will think and tell you. Actually, in one bungalow, he was living in only one room. Old man, bedridden. And his wife is lying in another bed. He is lying in this. Both are old, 80 plus. They were lying. First he said, I'm soch kar batayenge. So 3-4 times devotees went. And then fourth time he said another new thing. Pooch kar batayenge. Kisko puchna? He said, Bibi ko puchna. He said, are Bibi to idhar hi padi hai. Abhi puch lo. Ask now only, you ask your wife and tell. He said, nahin, 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 not now in front of you. After you go away, we will discuss amongst ourselves and tell. So they both passed away now. And they don't have any sons or daughters. All the property goes to government. By giving your homes to government, are you going to get any Sukriti? You see, one home, if they gave it to Krishna, then they will have one home in the spiritual world. You see? So as long as any possession is in our hands, our custody, we should use it in Krishna's service. Actually, this was my understanding also when I was in my school days and college days. In this life, I have a human body. And I should use this human body in Krishna's service to the best of my extent. So I joined my Brahmacharya Ashram in 25 years, 1994. So at that time, I thought I will burn out my body in Krishna's service. So because this body is there with us now, it will be taken away. This body is also Krishna's gift. So as much time, energy, talent that we have, we can use it in Lord's service. Then it becomes yajna. It becomes spiritualized completely. So Ambarish Maharaj had all these things, but he never thought these things will be staying with him permanently. He was very intelligent. He understood, these are all with me. But at one time, I will, like, you know, Prabhupada writes in one purport, if you have a lot of money, either the money will leave you or you will leave the money, he says. At the time of death, what happens? We leave the money behind and go. Or while living, if you have a lot of money, somebody may steal the money. That's very much possible. You know, thieves may steal. Doctors may also steal nowadays. Doctors take a lot of money nowadays. Lawyers may steal. In order to solve a court case, they may take a lot of money from you. So, in this way, money will be lost. So, Ambarish Maharaj's consciousness is a very exemplary consciousness for all of us to follow. That is also a renounced temperament. He also had a renounced temperament. So, we can talk about Yudhishthir Maharaj, we can talk about Ambarish Maharaj, we can talk about... So, great personalities. You know, what is his name? Kardama Muni, in one purport, Prabhupada writes, Kardama Muni begot Supreme Personality of Godhead as his own son. Who is his son? Kapila, Lord Kapila. And his wife is like Yashoda, isn't it? Because, you know, she is mother of Kapila, mother of God. And his wife was a very, very advanced wife, spiritually very, very advanced. But you will find Prabhupada writes there, even if God becomes your son in your home, one still has to take vanaprastha and go. Prabhupada says, he would have easily told Kardama Muni, that, you know, after all, now God has come here to my home only. And my wife is hearing Sadupadesh. I will sit with her and we both will hear Upadesh from Kapila. No, he took sannyas actually. So Prabhupada writes there how much he was renounced. He entered married life with a renounced temperament. How do you know that? Because he put the condition to Swayambhu Manu. I will marry your daughter provided you allow me to take sannyas after I give her a son. So he gave her a son and he was ready for taking sannyas after that. You will see that. So now why should one renounce? That we will see in the next verses. I read the translation of 17. 17th verse translation.
By his piety, Vidura achieved the advantage.
Because simply renouncing is not enough. See what Prabhupada says, I will show you in the Srimad Bhagavatam. See here what Prabhupada says. You read this one.
A pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls.
This is the meaning of renunciation. Like Prabhupada cut off his tie to a small family of five children, they were all grown-up sons actually. They all got placed in jobs and everything. Then Prabhupada took vanaprastha and then he took sannyas. And then Prabhupada widened his activities all over the world. In 12 years, Prabhupada established 108 temples. So he cut off the limited tie to a small family and he expanded a big family of ISKCON all over the world. So similarly, renunciation doesn't mean, you know, somebody gives up everything and goes to, you know, Himalayas. Recently, His Holiness Prabhupada Sarathya Maharaj was telling a very funny story. He said, there was a man who had 2-3 small growing children, you know, at home. And his wife was every day, you know, taking care of all the children. Taking care of 3 children is not an easy thing, you know. And she used to make, you know, earlier, rice, dal, sabji, chapati, and one sweet every day. Then after all these children came up, I mean, three children to take care, she only made, you know, rice, dal, sabji, and sometimes she would make sweet. So one day this husband told the wife, hey, if you don't make sweet and chapati regularly, then I will become a babaji. Like that, he would frighten her. So she got frightened. She said, you see, in the morning it's becoming difficult for me to cook. Maybe in the evening I'll make. He would say, no, you have to make all the items. So she was struggling. And someday, despite struggling, she couldn't do it. She only could make rice or sabji, that's all. And sabji also, he wanted 2 sabjis. One sabji is not enough. So 2 sabjis and 1 sweet and chapati, everything. So one day the Baba came, another Baba, Sannyasi Baba came, who is known to this family. And this lady was at home taking care of the children, and the Baba came to the door to accept alms. And this lady gave him alms and she cried to him. She said, see, my husband is frightening me that he will renounce me and he'll become Baba like you. And Baba laughed. And Baba said, next time he tells you like this, you tell him, okay, go and join the Baba, no problem. Like that, Baba said. She said, really? Yes, you say and see what happens. After 2 days, again this fellow was creating trouble in the morning. Today, why? Where is the sweet? Where is chapati? He was shouting. Only one sabji you have made today, you know. I will quit the home and I will join Babaji, he said. And wife said, get out. She said, oh, go and join the Babaji, no problem. Husband was surprised, really? Do you really mean? How she has changed it? And out of anger, he said, okay, I'm going now. So he left home and he went to join Baba. And as soon as he went to Baba's mat, Baba already knew information about him. So Baba told, see, here you cannot just sit and eat. You have to go and bring alms. So then he went home to home and begged rice and dal and everything. And he brought some vegetables, everything. And Baba told, now you not only have to bring these things, you have to cook also. So he cooked also. So some days he couldn't get any sabji. So he had to eat only rice and dal. That's all. Some days nothing. Only rice was there. There was no other dal also. Then you have to take some imli leaves and then, you know, crush it and make some little dal type of thing. Make it. So this fellow stayed in the Baba's mud for 1 week and ran away after that. He ran back to home after that. So the wife asked, what happened to you becoming Baba? He said, not now, later on. Isn't it? So in this world, many people may speak about becoming Baba, but it's not an easy thing. So here he says, cutting off the family ties means we have to expand, broaden the devotional activities. Otherwise, there is no meaning. Renunciation is not just for the sake of renunciation. So coming back to, where were we? Read the translation, 17.
By his piety, Vidura achieved the advantages of the pious Kauravas. After leaving Hastinapur, he took shelter of many places of pilgrimage, which are the Lord's lotus feet. With a desire to gain a high order of pious life, he traveled to holy places where thousands of transcendental forms of the Lord are situated.
Actually, he wanted to increase his piety. Already was a very pious soul, punya, punya atma. How we all can increase our punya in our life? We have to associate with saintly people. We have to chant more and more holy names. We have to study the scriptures. We have to take darshan of the Lord. We have to do pradakshina for the Lord. We have to walk with the procession. Drink charanamrita. Smell the flower offered to the Lord. Take the arati lamp and follow the vratas like Ekadashi vrata. Celebrate festivals at home like Janmashtami, Ram Navami and such kinds of festivals. Invite people to home. Work hard by cooking in the kitchen and offering bhoga to Lord and feeding the people prasadam. Isn't it? And take part in expanding this mission by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And grihasthas have one of the dharmas. Prabhupada says in 16.1-7 Bhagavad Gita that they should organize Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan in the streets by making a team of grihasthas go out on Harinam Sankirtan and spreading the holy name. So these are all activities which are called punya. Like he says, you know, yesham to antakatam papam jananam punya karmana. The real Bhakti Sukriti producing punya. If you want to know more than what I told you now, you can read the song. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula. Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Premalati Karamula. Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Premalati Karamula. So this song, you go through it, many secrets are given on how to increase our Bhakti Sukriti. How to increase Bhakti Punya. It gives many, many, like watering Tulasi, and keeping Ekadashi Vrata, and taking part in Gaur Kirtan. Like that, many things are given. So he also thought that I will engage in such devotional activities by traveling to all the holy places. Actually, traveling to holy places is done to associate with saintly people. Not for sightseeing. Actually, sometimes people are more interested in sightseeing. Therefore, Prabhupada says in, what is that place? Koshi? Is it Koshi? Where Prabhupada was hearing an announcement. If you want to see Sheshashayi temple, you can see the darshan. Go for darshan. Or you can stay back and hear the lecture from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So what did our Prabhupada prefer? He wanted to hear lecture. So he was not so much interested in sightseeing. He wanted to hear lecture. He preferred that more. Because by hearing lecture, our chitta becomes shuddha, purified. But if you are just going around seeing, many times you may not have the right eyes to see. We need Premanjana Churita to see the holy places. And that Premanjana, the eyes tinged with salve of love, we attain by hearing. So he preferred to hear. So Vidura also thought, let me travel to holy places and hear from great souls. That was his idea. Because, you know, till now I have been associating with all sinful and diplomatic people like Duryodhana, Dushasana, Shakuni and all that. Now let me drain out all these bad scripts by associating with saintly people and taking darshan of the deities of the Lord, visiting the holy temples and, you know, hearing Stala Puranas. Like that he thought. Yeah. So, Prabhupada writes something very interesting. Prabhu, you can read in the same purport, places of pilgrimages. You can read that. Beginning, in third or fourth para. Places of pilgrimages are meant for eradicating the sins of the pilgrims. And they are distributed all over the universe just to give facility to all concerned. Read that.
To all concerned for attaining pure existence and God realization. One should not be satisfied, however, merely by visiting the places of pilgrimage and performing one's prescribed duties. He should be eager to meet the great souls who are already there, engaged in the service of the Lord. In each and every place of pilgrimage, the Lord is present in various transcendental forms. These forms are called Archamurtis, or the forms of the Lord, which can be easily appreciated by the common man. The Lord is transcendental to our mundane senses. He cannot be seen with our present eyes, nor can he be heard with our present ears. To the degree that we have entered into the service of the Lord, or to the proportion to which our lives are freed from sins, we can perceive the Lord.
So two things he has spoken till now. Why do we go to holy place? The holy place is valuable for two reasons, he says. One is there are archa vigrahas, which are very powerful, worshipped for thousands of years by great devotees. Some deities are standing, some deities are sitting. Some devotees are lying in the, some of the deity forms, the Lords are lying in Ananta Shesha. And the Lord has different mudras also, like Narsimha is an Ugra Rupam. There are temples, I hope in Narsimha. Like Ranganatha temple, Lord is lying in a Ananta bed. Or Jagannatha, when Jagannatha Balaram Subhadra, he's an eating God. Similarly, you see Ranganatha is a sleeping God. So Lord is in different poses and different places. And also Lord has performed many pastimes in those places. So one should visit those temples, meet the pujaris, and hear the Stala Puranas from the places, and meet the saintly people who are residing in those holy places. And one should hear from them. And then by knowing about the Lord's pastimes, one will get thrilled and spiritually enlivened by hearing that. So that is one purpose he writes here. And then Prabhupada is saying here, you cannot see the Lord with your mundane eyes. You need spiritual eyes to see. And how do you get spiritual eyes? By hearing, he says. By hearing from saintly people, and gradually you develop the spiritual eyes. Just like what Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, do not try to see Krishna. What he said? Try to serve him in such a way that he will want to see you. Like if a schoolboy wants to meet the principal, probably he may not be able to meet. But if he gets a state first in 10th standard, then principal may call him to his room. All of you think for a moment, for you to meet the Prime Minister of India, is it easy? Difficult. But if he wants to meet you in your home, is it easy? He can take a helicopter and come. He can come and meet you very easily. Correct, no? So when Krishna wants to see me, it's very easy for me to see him. But when I want to see him, it's not easy. But for me to see him, I have to do service in such a way that I can see him. Either he says. Read further.
But even though we are not free from sins, the Lord is kind enough to allow us the facility of seeing him in his archamurtis in the temple. The Lord is all powerful, and therefore he is able to accept our service by presentation of his archa form. No one therefore should foolishly think the archa in the temple to be an idol. Such an archamurti is not an idol, but the Lord himself. And to the proportion to which one is free from sins, he is able to know the significance of the archamurti. The guidance of a pure devotee is therefore always required.
So the archamurti form, either at home or in the temple, the degree you take it seriously, to take the deity seriously, to that degree you will get reciprocation. There is a song in Tamil, Devam Yenral Adu Devam Silai Yenral Adu Silai Dan. What is the meaning of that? If you see the deity and think, this is Lord Krishna, and you dress him, you ornament him, you feed him bhoga, you circumambulate him, you perform abhishek for him, eventually you will see Krishna Prema will arise in your heart. All the Ashtasattvika Vikars will manifest. At that time, you will get a Chinmaya Drishti, you will see. The deities will start speaking to you. The deity will play with you. There are evidences for this in the scriptures. On the other hand, if somebody is thinking this is a beautiful doll, this is a very nice, attractive doll, that's all, if he thinks like that, then he will behave with you like a doll only. In whatever way you deal with the Lord, he will reciprocate accordingly. Like that he says. That's the way the deity will deal. Like for example, there is a currency note and there is an imitation currency note. You've seen that? Children get a 1,000 rupee note in 10 paisa only. You've seen that big note? Isn't it? Both are made of paper only. But one has got real value. Another one is fake note. It has no value at all. Similarly, the deities may be made of wood or marble, or it may be made of metal or something like that. So we may be thinking, oh, this is made of metallic deity. Is it really seeing me? Actually, Lord is in every atom. Andantarastha paramana chayantarastha. Therefore, a person who is very neophyte, there are three levels, jada buddhi, manomaya buddhi, chinmaya buddhi. Three stages. Jada drishti means what? You see the deity as a doll. Manomaya drishti means you develop love for the deity, and even before the altar opens, in your mind, you get a picture of the deity. That is actually Manomaya Drishti, which means you have developed a great Shraddha in the deity. And above that is Chinmaya Drishti, where the deity will speak to you. You can speak to the Lord and Lord will give you answer also for your questions. That's a very advanced stage. So the devotees of the Lord, they visit the temples like this and they see the deities. They see him as Sakshat the person. Like Prabhupada went to one man's house, and that man was unable to understand the value of deity. So Prabhupada saw a photo of this fellow and asked, "Now, whose photo is this?" And the man smiled and said, "Swami, that is me only." You know? He was telling, "That's my photo only. It's me." So Prabhupada said, "Yeah, just now you are saying that the photo is you. It's your photo. Similarly, the deity form of Krishna is actually looks the same way as Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. This is the way Krishna appeared and he played in Vrindavan with all the cowherd boys, cowherd girls and all the cows and calves. He played. But there's a difference between your photo and Krishna's deity. You are not absolute. You are not present in your photo. Whereas Lord is present in his deity form. Why? Because Lord is absolute. There is no place where he is not present. Can any of you see here, say that, you know, your photo is in your home and you are present there? You are not present. But Krishna is present everywhere. He is absolute. So, Prabhupada said that one should know that Lord is agreeing to come as... So, deity form is the most merciful form. Why? Lord lying in, Ananta Shesha in the milk ocean, he is like the water in the cloud. You cannot drink water in the cloud. Lord Vishnu as Paramatma in your heart, he is like the underground water. You can't access underground water very easily. But Lord coming as deity is like a tumbler of water right in front of you. You can take it and immediately drink it. So Lord coming as Murti form, Archa Murti form, you can dress him, decorate him, feed him, worship him, develop love for him. And then Prabhupada says, anybody who develops love for the deity dominates the devotee's mind and liberates the devotee and takes him back to Godhead. Time of death. So Vidura went to such temples. Yeah. Please, 18th verse translation quickly.
He began to travel alone, thinking only of Krishna, through various holy places like Ayodhya, Dwarka and Mathura. He traveled where the air, hill, orchard, river and lake are all pure and sinless, and where the forms of the unlimited decorate the temples. Thus, he performed the pilgrim's progress.
Yeah. See, he was traveling alone and thinking only of Krishna. And Vidura did not allow people to detect who he was. When he was going, he changed his veshbhush and everything. Why? Because if people on the way saw him, "Oh, you are Viduraji, you are here. Now, we came to know this Duryodhana spoke some sharp, insulting words. How diplomatic these people in the palace are, how they have done." So people may start talking about the palace life. And they may start showing some kind of compassion, sympathy. Or they will inspire him to protest and attack back or something like that. So he wanted to change his external appearance in such a manner that nobody could detect who he was. Regarding that, the next verse comes. Let us read the 19th verse. Gam paryatan medya vivikta vrittihi sradaplutoda shayanovadutaha alakshita svairavadhuta vesho vritani chere haritoshanani. See, when he was traveling, Gam Paryatan, he was going from one place to another. At that time, many things are mentioned. He says that Medya Vivikta Vrittihi. You know, he purified himself in various... his occupation was pure and independent. Vivikta Vritti means independent, he's saying. Which means he was not employed by anybody. Imagine if you are in a court as an official priest, engaged by the king, you have to dance according to his tune. But now the situation is different. Now he is liberated from the palace. Like for example, I was working in a company before joining ISKCON, say in Thermax or Matran Platt. I had a boss. In company, you know, he will give me a paycheck at the end of the month, but I have to oblige what he tells me to do. Now after I become a renunciate, now I meet my boss again and I go to his home and do a kirtan. Again he gives me a paycheck. But now I can do what I want to give him. Correct, na? Now he can't tell me, you know, do this computer program. I can tell him, you join kirtan now. Isn't it? Because once you are renounced, then you can do God's work. We have no other business. So now he had no other occupation, vivikta vritti. Huh? He became independent. Now, therefore, his occupation was pure. What is pure occupation? Pure occupation means you do only God's work. Huh? We have no other business. Even as grihasthas, as they go from 25 to 50, when you are 25, you are newly getting married. At that time, you have a lot of responsibility. You have to do a job. You know, you beget children. You have to purchase a house. You know, you have to make some savings for the future and all these things. But as one grows towards 45, 50, 55, 60, then gradually one should hand over the family business and everything to the children, or grown-up children. Imagine a man marries at 25. By 50, his sons are, sons' daughters will be grown up to the age of 25. Correct, no? 25 means it's a, they may be even married also, at that age. So then one should think that now I have done my duty in my life. Now let me focus on my spiritual life and go back to God. Otherwise, this material world is a place of misery. It is temporary. And one should not expand one's material business anymore. Rather, one should think that now let me devote more time and energy to Krishna after that, as one goes beyond Panchashurdham Manam Brajet. So, is then Medya. Medya means then your life is pure because you are engaging purely in Krishna service more and more. In fact, in Grihastha Ashrama should be led in such a pure way that one will be able to take off from material entanglements beyond 50, 60. But if 25 to 50 is not led in a spiritual way, one will go on till 75, 80, hanging around in the company business. We have seen people like that. They are unable to get... Even the sons and daughters are saying, enough now, you relax now, you leave us. They are not ready to leave. So it's up to us. So then he's saying, Sadaplato Adashayano, he's saying, you see. What is Adashayano? He was lying on the earth. Probably he had a simple chatai. Or sometimes he had to lie on the ground also. Adashayano, he's saying. Avadutaha, he's saying. Avaduta means he was not decorated. Which means he must have allowed the hair to grow, beard and mustache to grow. Nobody could make out who he was. Avadutavesh. Why he did that? Because he did not want people to remind of his connection with the palace, with Kauravas and other things. He didn't want any political talks. He just wanted to talk only about Krishna. So there are two ways you can express renunciation. Either clean shave, mustache, beard, hair, everything, clean shave. Or allow it to grow without caring for it. Don't comb it, don't put shampoo, no, don't put oil and all that. Just allow it to grow in whatever way it wants to grow. Sometimes forms jata also. Like that. So he allowed to grow like that. With avadutaha. And then alakshitaha, without being seen by anybody. You know, probably he must be wearing a chadra or something, so nobody can detect him who he is. Especially when he was walking from the palace out. He didn't want to be seen by anybody. Alakshita, it's saying. Swaihi means alone. He was walking. Because sometimes if you have a traveling partner, you may do prajalpa. If other people are walking with him, there is a possibility of getting distracted, diverted. Now he was alone, he understood, my only companion is Lord in my heart, the super soul. Yeah. Avadhuta Vesha, dressed like a mendicant. Vratani Chere, he performed many vows, which means he must be taking vows for chanting. He must be taking vows for upavas. He must have taken vows for rising early in the morning and all that. Vratani Chere, he says. And those vratas were taken for what? Haritoshanani, for pleasing Lord Krishna. Like that he says. So, he was absorbed in pleasing the Lord. He was not, absorbed in trying to please Dhritarashtra or Duryodhana or Shakuni or anybody. No more endeavor to please such people. Now he became one-pointed in Lord's service. So, he wanted to become free from it. Prabhupada writes very beautiful things about pilgrimage. Read the purport.
The first and foremost duty of a pilgrim is to satisfy the Supreme Lord Hari. While traveling as a pilgrim, one should not be worried about pleasing society.
Yeah, see, sometimes you find one family used to chant one or two rounds Hare Krishna mantra. Once when I was going for program, 1 week they didn't come. So after two programs, they came again. I asked, I didn't see you. They said, we had gone to Vrindavan for a yatra. They said, oh, yatra? Who took you for a yatra? I said, no, we just went ourselves. They said, so they just went with the family, husband, wife, children. They went and then they roamed in Vrindavan. You know, probably they went to Banki Bihari, few temples in Vrindavan. They roamed here and there and they came back. But later on, when this family became 16 elders and got initiated, they felt ashamed. They said, when we went alone, we couldn't see anything in Vrindavan. We just moved around and came as a ritual. But just for sightseeing, we had gone. Now when we went with the spiritual master, he gave us the eyes to see Vrindavan. To see, we could understand what is the glory of Vrindavan, like Akrura entering Vrindavan with full consciousness. Therefore, he says here, the first and foremost duty of pilgrim is not for anything else other than pleasing the Supreme Lord. Yeah, go ahead.
There is no need to depend on social formalities or occupation or dress. One should remain always absorbed in the function of pleasing the Lord. Thus, sanctified by thought and action, one is able to realize the Supreme Lord by the process of pilgrim's journey.
We should be sanctified by thought and action when you go to yatra. This is the purpose of yatra. I've always seen my spiritual master, in the beginning of yatra, he will tell about the mood of the yatra. One of the things he will say is, you know, you all may have some discomfort. There are thousands of people here, but you should not do prajalpa. You should not criticize other Vaishnavas. You should not bother too much about eating and sleeping. Whatever best facility you have, be satisfied. Whatever is given to you. And also, His Holiness Satyanandan Maharaj came for one yatra. He said, while walking on the land of Vrindavan with your empty feet, with your bare feet, some of you might have experienced pricking of a sharp pebble on your feet. Did you experience? He asked us. How many of you? Practically almost all of us raised the hand, he said. One great Vaishnava says that pricking of Vrindavan stones on your feet is million times more superior than the Brahmananda. Like that he was telling. So he said, you should feel that you have attained Krishna's mercy because you got the prick of a stone from Vrindavan. So he was telling, don't complain when you go for a yatra. Don't complain the you know, the roads are unclean, there are pigs roaming here and there, or there are monkeys are stealing my glass spectacles, or today in Prasadam the sweet got over, you know. Or at night, you know, there are too many mosquitoes, I couldn't get good sleep. And don't talk about your health, don't talk about mosquitoes, don't talk about prajalpa. But forget about all this and be absorbed in thought and action on Lord Hari. So only speak about something related to the Dham, something related to Krishna. And therefore, some devotees make it a habit that when they go for yatra, they always hear some recordings or read some books, share with other devotees. Actually, material problems will be there, but we should not focus on them. We should ignore them. And we should absorb ourselves in thought and, like he says here, you see, in thought and action. So one who is able to do that, he can realize the Supreme Lord. He will experience Krishna. The Vrindavan is filled with, you know, loud laughter of the cowherd boys and Krishna playing in the forest of Vrindavana. You know, they are all jumping along with the frogs. They are all imitating the cuckoos. They are trying to catch the shadows of the flying birds. Sometimes they are calling names into the wells. Sometimes they are making a jula under the tree and they are swinging. So even today in Vrindavan Dham, Krishna's cowherding pastimes are happening. Because these are immortal pastimes. They keep happening all the time. And Krishna is playing on his flute and all the cows, calves, everybody is attracted to that. So that is, but that is only heard for those who have become completely pure-hearted. Otherwise, those who are not pure-hearted, those who are floating in three gunas, they are likely to be commenting about food, commenting about clothing, commenting about accommodation, criticizing about others. Therefore, he says, what the purpose of pilgrimage? So, Vidura completely withdrew himself from the external world and absorbed himself. Read next to translation, 20th one.
While so traveling the earth, he simply performed duties to please the Supreme Lord Hari. His occupation was pure and independent. He was constantly sanctified by taking his bath in holy places, although he was in the dress of a mendicant and had no hair dressing, nor a bed on which to lie. Thus, he was always unseen by his various relatives.
Yeah. So, in the previous purport, the last para you can see, in the land of Bharatvarsha, read that. 17th purport. 17th purport, in the land of Bharatvarsha. The paragraph starts with that.
In the land of Bharatvarsha, there are many hundreds and thousands of places of pilgrimage distributed all over the country. And by traditional practice, the common man visits such holy places during all seasons of the year. Some of the archa representations of the Lord situated in different places of pilgrimage are mentioned herewith. The Lord is present at Mathura, the birthplace of Lord Krishna, as Adikeshava. The Lord is present at Puri, Orissa, as Lord Jagannath, also known as Purushottam. He is present at Allahabad, Prayag, as Bindu Madhava. At Mandara Hill, he is present as Madhusudana. In the Anandaranya, he is known as Vasudeva, Padmanabha and Janardhan. At Vishnukanchi, he is known as Vishnu. And at Mayapuri, he is known as Hari. There are millions and billions of such archa forms of the Lord distributed all over the universe. All these archa murtis are summarized in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the following words.
Sarvatra prakashatandra bhakti sukhadite. Jagatera adharmanashi dharma sthapite.
The Lord has so distributed himself all over the universe just to give pleasure to the devotees, to give the common man facility to eradicate his sins and to establish the religious principles in the world.
So Vidura was going from one temple to another. While walking, sometimes he would see a big gopuram with a chakra in the top. Immediately he'll fall on the ground and offer obeisances, understanding it's the temple of Vishnu. Then he would go to the temple of Vishnu, meet the pujaris, ask about the Stalapurana. Then he would take a holy dip in the pond that is adjacent to the temple. And he would not even want to wipe out the water from his body. Because when he was continuing to walk, by the time it gets slightly dried up under the sun, he will take another bath in the next holy place. Just like when you go to Rameshwaram, there is 21 Koti Tirth. So you take one bath and you don't actually wipe out because you have to take one more bath. So then you go to second, third, fourth, fifth, like that. So in this way, Vidura kept himself absorbed in taking holy baths, taking darshan of the deities, meeting saintly people. Now he'll be meeting Maitreya, then Uddhava first, and then Maitreya he'll be meeting. And inquiring questions about the Lord. Actually, this is ideal for a vanaprastha lifestyle. Vanaprastha actually is a stage where one has completed one's material duties. And now the spiritual inquiry should be made with great enthusiasm. Who am I? Why did I come to this world? Where am I supposed to go after death? What is the right method of living our life? How should we spiritualize our consciousness? So he's making very, very wonderful inquiries from which all of us will benefit. So in today's session, we learned two things. One about renounced temperament while even living in a palace. That means, you know, even if you're living in a palace, you are Ambarish Prabhu or you are Ambarish Maharaj or you are Yudhishthir Maharaj, still you can live in a renounced temperament. Considering myself a custodian, not a proprietor. That's one thing I devoted a lot of time today. Another thing we learned is how to go on a pilgrimage. That was the second part. How did he go on a spiritual pilgrimage? And the pilgrimage, the goal of the pilgrimage is to attain love for Krishna, not for just sightseeing. So what was the mood of Vidura, attitude of Vidura? So it's very pleasing to see Vidura's devotion. Therefore, later on when Vidura would return to palace, he was received as a sannyasi. Yudhishthira Maharaj will receive him with great delight, with great warmth, because such a personality like Vidura had become completely surcharged with spiritual wisdom. He was shining with great spiritual tejas. So when he sat to give instruction to Dhritarashtra, everybody sat around and everybody heard those instructions. And Dhritarashtra became detached by associating with Vidura. And then he and Gandhari went to the forest and attained perfection after that. So I had given the heading, live joyfully in renounced temperament, which means To the degree we are detached, we can live joyfully, even in troublesome situation. But if you are not cultivating the renounced temperament, we become very possessive and we are too attached to the things of this world, then we will experience great pain. Actually, Vidura experienced momentary pain when he was insulted and thrown out of the palace. But subsequently, the path was like a bed of roses for him after that. Because he was approaching Krishna. So, in our situation, you will see one last concluding point I want to say, make about this renounced temperament. In any field or area in which you think your contribution is very important, your intelligence is very important, and you are very important, I am very indispensable, without me things cannot go, I was the first one to do this, nobody else could have done it. And I have been doing this for so many long years. These kind of feelings, if you have, I am very sorry to say, these are very dangerous feelings. Because these are the feelings of possessiveness. You can see people say that, I was the first one to do this. I have been doing this. I was chairman of this. I was chairman of that club, this club. I am indispensable. Without my good advice, things cannot go. So these kind of feelings of possessiveness, if somebody holds, then they become karta. Karta ahamiti manyate. Krishna says, no? Ahankara vimudhatma karta ahamiti manyate. So we can be, we can become very possessive of not only a house or a post in a company, or we can become very possessive of some of the privileges and facilities given to us when they are taken away, how we will behave. So therefore, one thing we should know, your unchangeable identity is we are Krishna Das. Jivar Sarupahoy. Other than that, everything else is covering over the soul. You may possess sometimes and not possess sometimes. But the unchangeable reality is you will always be Krishna Das in any situation. So we should hold on to this identity. That is renounced temperament. Renounced temperament, other things may come. Okay, if you give me a facility, I will use in Krishna service. If I don't have the facility, I will manage. You give me a nice car, I can use in Krishna service. If I don't have a car, I'll go in a bicycle. Because I am not attached to car, I am attached to Krishna service. So that should be the ideal temperament, which is renounced temperament. So we devoted sufficient time for that today. And although we couldn't complete the full chapter, rest of the chapter is detailed, you can read. There's another theme coming up in the subsequent verses. But Vidura is a very beautiful character for us to learn good lesson. One more thing I spoke today briefly is converting misfortune into good fortune. External potency and internal potency. So should we act influenced by external potency or internal potency? So I showed you two Devi verses, material Devi, spiritual Devi. So we should be under whose lotus feet? Spiritual Devi or material Devi? Radharani. So influenced by Radharani. Radharani is a Seva Bhava always. So we should also adapt Seva Vritti in our attitude. So adapting that, we can always be making the right choices in our life. Like Vidura made the right choice. Krishna Bhagavan ki, Rantraat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.